Thank you. I'll be talking on the Gospel for today, page 1026 in the Bibles. The verse which comes in the middle of today's Gospel is, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Let us think about what happened before and after that astonishing event in the Judean village just before the birth of Jesus, with a view as to how we can keep Advent. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth are called righteous in the sight of God. This means that they obeyed God from their hearts, not just outwardly for show. They had one big agony. They had no child. But God used them in his plan for the whole world. From this deep sorrow came deep joy, as God's plan was fulfilled in their lives. Zechariah was one of over 20,000 priests who were divided into 24 divisions to cover the work in the temple at Jerusalem. As there were so many, those who were called to serve were chosen by lot. To be chosen to offer incense in the holy place of the temple during a time of prayer was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. But God had a plan, and it was time for its fulfillment. So it was not by chance that Zechariah was chosen that day. We have many details of what happened. The angel appeared. Zechariah was startled and gripped with fear. The angel gave Gabriel the message about John, the son to be born, his calling to bring back the people to God, and his purpose to prepare for the coming of the Messiah in the power of the Holy Spirit, like Elijah the prophet. Zechariah asked, how can this be? He wanted to know all the details before accepting the message from God. For this, he was told he would be unable to speak until the will of God was fulfilled. As a result, for more than 9 months, he was dumb. How can these happenings help us to hear from God and prepare for his coming into our hearts? Two things come to mind. The first is not to question God when he gives a clear message in his word, but to trust that in his time it will be fulfilled. The second is that silence and solitude are a means to still the chatter of our inner agitation and hear from God. First, in our walk with God, we walk by faith and not by sight. We want to know how things will work out, but God does not act like that. He desires us to have a loving, trusting relationship with him at all times and in all circumstances. It is the best way, as Christians have testified throughout the centuries. When I was diagnosed with an acoustic neuroma, that's to do with hearing, and it made the sound of the organ, the ringing of bells, and even the hub of conversation almost unbearable, I uttered a big why to God. Why are you taking from me the thing I love best, going to church? But through that disability, God taught me new things. How to trust him, how to listen, how to meditate on the scriptures and pray alone instead of in a group. And finally, through loving prayer and compassion of others, to relax, accepting and receiving a measure of healing. I have heard similar testimony from others who have been through difficulties and come through by God's grace. Perhaps you too have uttered the why to God. And Advent is the time to wait and trust that he will use the experience for his eternal purpose in your life and the lives of others. Secondly, God longs to get our attention and inserting a place and a time each day to be silent before him is a way of letting him in. Zechariah was silent for 9 months. Perhaps it would be a good idea in Advent to set aside 9 minutes each day to wait on God. How much we could learn of God and his ways as we still ourselves and open our hearts to him. What did Zechariah learn in his time of silence? We are not told, but it is revealed to us in what he said, as he was filled with the Spirit and prophesied. What he said came gushing and rushing out in words of praise to God. Let us spend some time now looking at these words, which are still said or sung each morning in Christian homes and places of worship. As village people, we can enter into the excitement of a village occasion. Everyone was happy for Elizabeth and full of joy at the birth of John. The time came for the naming, and those present assumed the baby would have his father's name. Just to make sure, they consulted the father, and as Zechariah wrote, "His name is John," the miracle happened, and he opened his mouth and spoke, but not ordinary words, but words anointed by the Holy Spirit, showing that in his time of silence, he'd moved closer to God and received revelation of the future of his son and the coming of the Messiah. Let us look at that part of the revelation together. And you can look at the Bibles now. I begin with verse 73. In verse 73, he speaks of the covenant given to Abraham, that God would come to rescue his people. He knew that God keeps his promises. Mary, pregnant with the child Jesus, had visited his home. The fulfillment was happening before his eyes. In verse 78, he also speaks of mercy, tender mercy and compassion, acknowledging, as we need to do, that in the face of a holy God, we deserve punishment for our rebellion and sin. But God loves us so much that he provides the way we can receive salvation through forgiveness and come into a right relationship with him. Verse 77. Finally, he speaks of redemption. And let's look a little more closely at what that means. As a priest in the temple, Zechariah would have known, as the writer to Hebrews says, without blood there is no redemption. That was the offering of restoration God had shown to ancient Israel, whose priests daily, morning and evening, made that offering with the blood of goats and lambs to maintain their relationship with God, the Most High and Holy. It was 30 years later that Zechariah's son John, grown to be a man, would point to Jesus as the Lamb of God. Jesus, who was the perfect offering for the sin of the world, would shed his blood by dying on the cross, so that for Jew and Gentiles alike, darkness would be replaced by light, sin by forgiveness, impurity by his purity, ugliness by his beauty, being cursed by blessedness, and death by the power of his life, a sinless life, freely laid down to reverse our sin and shame. This is the divine exchange offered to us when we come to Christ and as we grow in faith. We, like Zechariah, touch but the fringes of true reality. Like him, we need time with God to receive revelation so that we can say with him, "The rising sun will come to us from heaven and shine on us, living in darkness and the shadow of death." Like him, in this life, we can only catch glimpses of our Lord Jesus Christ, now in glory, waiting for his coming to lift us up to be with him. Do you not yearn to know him more and to spend time seeking him in prayer through his word, sacraments, and worship? Until we see him face to face, we are unable, as it says in verse 74, to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. And in verse 79 at the end, why? Because he guides our feet into the way of peace. Peace is a theme of the Advent Sundays. How do we find deep peace? Foundational to that peace is peace with God through Jesus Christ. It is a peace to be sought and treasured, a peace which is beyond understanding because it withstands adverse conditions which may surround us. Testimony is given to this peace by many persecuted Christians, but it is available to us as well. In a recent review of our Fruitfulness on the Frontline course, our group shared that peace had been lost in the past because we had not valued our lives as God does or used them fully to his glory. There lingered fear that we had not done it right, or only Christians who were missionaries or working to relieve the poor were doing God's will. The course taught us that on our front line, when we are enabled by the Holy Spirit, we can do good work, model godly character, minister grace and love to others, and even sometimes to mould the culture around us, to be mouthpieces for truth and justice, and a messenger for the gospel. Instead of moments of fear and guilt, we found we were enjoying experiencing the way of peace. Through that study, we had moved spiritually and heard from God. It reflects Zechariah's experience in a small way. If you long for peace, now is the time to prepare for the coming of the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is willing to lead you to the Father by the Holy Spirit. He has a way of peace for each of us. Ask him how to find it and he will show you. If you have lost your peace, he will bring you back on the way as you pray and ask. A miracle will happen. Like Zechariah, we all need to learn again and again that God is for us and we can be in a trusting relationship with him, whoever or wherever we are. We are highly valued and he wants and will enable us to grow and be a living, joyful Christian. I want to end with this quotation from Desert Island Discs. Most of you will have heard of Sister Wendy Beckett or watched her art appreciation lecture on TV. In the front of our book, there was this quotation. On Radio 4 programme, Kirsty Young asked Sister Wendy Beckett, "When did you first decide you wanted to be a nun?" She answered, it was when I was a baby. It was the only thing I wanted because I didn't know there were other ways to love God completely. I now know, of course, that you can be a bus conductress or a television person and love God completely. So whatever our calling, we can love God completely. We may not be like Zechariah, but the same God is the Father of us all. And through the offering of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, by faith, we may pray, live, work, and grow as he did through the months of waiting for the birth of his son, John the Baptist, as we wait this Advent for the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, longing for him to come again in glory. Amen. Just keep it just sweet.